What up, everybody? It's Double G with the Fight Game Podcast. John LaRocque and I here after AEW Dynamite. We're going to talk some WWE in the first segment of this show, and then we'll cover AEW Dynamite like we usually do. But John, we both jumped on this call saying, man, kind of tired.
Yeah, pretty tired. This time change has never really affected me before, but I don't know. This time around is really kicking my butt for some reason. But I'm staying up late. I haven't really done myself any favors, though.
Well, I think after we talk about this stuff, we'll catch our second wind here because, you know, when you do a show with a friend, it's kind of like just a conversation that you lose yourself in, and then you're into it. So we'll get into it here. All right. So before we talk about AEW Dynamite, you and I haven't talked about this yet, other than the fact that you said you liked Crown Jewel. I kind of want to focus on Logan Paul, and then we'll talk about more WWE booking stuff. But can you remember someone who's like in his, like, I think, is it his second or is his third match?
Third match, because he had a tag match at WrestleMania, SummerSlam match with Miz, and then this is his third match.
Okay. Third match. Have you ever seen a better third match than that?
Nah, man, he's a good athlete, and he gets it and respects it, and you can tell, like, he's putting his best effort into it, and Roman was great in this match, and, you know, they're both great, and it just worked out, just all came together in a really fun, exciting match. I think it was going to be fun, but I didn't know it would be that good, so it was a lot, like I said, a lot of fun for me to watch. I enjoyed the whole show. I thought they had a really good Crown Jewel. The Crown Jewel shows before that have all been kind of, there.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? Okay, I thought the show was pretty good, you know, for the main event blew everything away. I just thought it was an amazing match. For the most part, I thought it was like a really good Monday Night Raw. I was like, good wrestling, nothing really stupid, a lot of heel stuff going on. But this is a really good Monday Night Raw. And then the Usos and the Brutes happened. And I was like, okay, that match kind of picked it up for me. But man, like Drew McIntyre and Karrion Kross, I was like, we need to figure out how to get Karrion Kross into something further than like second gear. But you know who else really liked this show? And it kind of blew my mind because I expected him to say, it kind of felt like Monday Night Raw. Is Big Dave. Big Dave really liked that show. So
I've heard that before, someone else say, I think it was Keely Cash and Salty Scott rap show.
That's kind of how they described it too.
They said it felt like Raw as well. I mean, I haven't been watching Raw, but every time I watched Raw, it didn't feel like this. It felt like a big show. And I know a lot of the finishes led to future rematches and stuff. But overall, I mean, I thought it was really good. I really enjoyed Bayley and Bianca.
You know what I didn't like about that match? You know what I didn't like about that match? One, there's two matches that we've watched this year where we're like, again, one of them is a ladder match. Mm-hmm. The other one is Last Man Standing. Like when we were growing up, we didn't see that many Last Man Standing matches. So when we saw them, they were unique. Yeah, I feel like there's one every third pay-per-view now.
Oh, well, yeah, we've killed every gimmick for years now. But I thought, I almost skipped that match. I almost said, we're kind of getting short on, I kind of want to start wrapping this up. But I decided to watch it. And I'm glad I did because I thought Bayley was really good in that match. And Bianca's good, too. Exceeded my expectations. I really liked that match a lot. And I thought, wow, this is the match of the night. And then Logan Paul and Roman Reigns happened. Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley was
exactly. Yeah, exactly what you thought it would be.
The finish was good. It helped. Brock won, but it's just kind of a speed of finish. You can do a rematch off that. I like that. I was enjoying most of the Karrion Kross Drew McIntyre cage match. I just didn't like the finish with the liquid and stuff or whatever it was. I thought that would finish this little. Poorly executed, but the women's tag match was fine. I thought that was the weakest match in the show. A lot of people like thought it was the best one of the best matches on the show. I thought it was okay, but it was fine. And then you know, the Usos and the Brawling Brutes was a real good tag team match. And so, yeah. And what else was on there? Is there anything else that we're missing on this show that happened? That it... Omos. He's... And Strowman actually had a decent match. I thought that was going to be a disaster, but it was, you know.
It was okay. Yeah,
it was totally good. It was actually really good for, you know, because again, another match that exceeded my expectations. I was like excited to watch it because I thought, oh, this is going to be bad. But it, no, like Omos actually had some, you know, some oomph in him, had some. He's just like not like a big old block of clay out there. He was like actually had some attitude, and I thought Strowman did a good job with him. And yeah, I thought that match was pretty good. So
Judgment Day really and the OC was the other one.
Oh, that was fun. Yeah, that was another fun one. Another fun match. Just you as well. So,
Okay. Going back to my last woman standing match here. Okay. I know we don't really have blood feuds anymore.
We don't even have blood anymore, really.
Yeah, but isn't this match one in which you want like a decisive knockout finish rather than a goofy, let's stick you inside of a ladder finish?
I don't know. I thought the finish was fine. It's different.
She couldn't get out of the ladder when she clearly could.
She was stuck.
I thought the power bomb through the table would have been way better.
That was nuts, man. That was scary. And it was really creative, that golf cart spot to the table. Yeah, I thought the finish should have rolled her in and hit the old whatever she has, that KOD move, whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. And then that should have been it. Yeah, but I still liked it. I still thought it was really good. I thought Bailey was phenomenal. Like Bailey, she worked me, man, with that ankle injury. Mm-hmm. Like that was
good.
That was really good. I rewound it just to see, like, oh man, I'm gonna see exactly how she hurt her leg, and I was like, oh, that looks nasty. And then she pops up. I'm like, ah, oh, man, got me. That's great. I'm glad she did. And then I just thought she was. I mean, she was really the glue of that match. Bianca's good. I mean, I'm not gonna discredit, you know, say it's all Bailey. But Bailey was really the general in there. She was phenomenal. You know, they just kind of. I hope she gets the belt soon one day because her work's really good.
Okay, so now let's talk about Survivor Series here,
mm-hmm.
because I'm kind of excited for Survivor Series. But I always talk myself into Survivor Series every single year. I talk myself into it, and it's because when I was a little kid, you got a couple days off from school.
Yeah,
you got a little wrestling action going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I always have that like nostalgic feel every time for Survivor Series. But here's why I'm excited. One, Triple H gets to do a couple different things that, you know, Vince probably wouldn't do. So that's one. Let's try and make this show important again. Two, we'll get to see what War Games looks like on WWE TV. But here's my problem with this. I forgot who reported this, but that someone had written that Triple H said he wasn't going to shoehorn Hell in a Cell into a pay-per-view. Like, he wanted to gradually build, and mm-hmm. then you have the match in the Hell in a Cell, and you have that on an actual show. Smart, right? Right after all of, you know, the criticisms that we have about WWE wrestling, like, Triple H has the same criticisms we do, so great. But isn't he doing the same thing by shoehorning these War Games matches? Because I don't see a natural build, even though they do have a match that's already been... They've already created the women's match for Survivor Series. But it does feel a little shoehorned. Like, what's the blood feud on the men's side to have a reason for War Games, right? Because if you go back to NXT,
mm-hmm.
there was always a reason for War Games. Now, it was also shoehorned in a little bit, but it was like, we have to do this thing at War Games. You know, because we just have this beef, and we've been having this beef for months and months and months. Now, I think you can kind of jigsaw puzzle some teams together, but it still feels a little shoehorned to me. It doesn't feel like this pay-per-view with War Games is like a natural progression of storylines, making us want to see these double cage matches.
I wonder if the Jake Paul injury was, if he didn't get injured, he would have played into one of the people on the babyface side against the Bloodline, if that's what they're going to do in the Bloodline, you know,
yeah,
as the War Games. Maybe his brother, I guess.
Dude.
Could have been, I know.
Some
I know.
Bad punches there.
Man. I know.
And
I
this
know.
Dude this dude throws punches for a living.
I know, but he was a little trigger shot on those work punches. But yeah, maybe so we'll see. We'll see what that plan. I think, you know, when he took over, obviously the creative, and he's looking at, you know, the 2020, you know, cards and stuff and the pay-per-views and whatnot. I think he's saw Survivor Series. Survivor Series kind of, you know, has lost its luster,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
So I think in the future, he probably doesn't want to shoehorn a Hell in a Cell, you know. But I think he wanted to make an impact.
Sure.
With the announcement of War Games for Survivor Series to get people excited for the Survivor Series again. So I think that was the case. Now we'll see next year. If next year is, you know, Survivor Series War Games again, then, you know, but I think that's why he decided to announce that early on. And you know, obviously I think it's sold out, right? The Survivor Series sold out.
Oh, I'm sure it is. WWE's and I think, hot right now.
Yeah, I think that really helped too. Like now say it's a War Games, and I think we'll get what we got with the NXT War Games. We're gonna see the plunder in there, unfortunately, you know, all that kind of stuff. They're gonna jump off the roof. There's gonna be no roof on top of it. You know, if you follow the war, watch the War Games in NXT, we're gonna get that with just bigger stars, right? So
some of those War Games, I think the last couple War Games I thought were really bad though. But they'll have the top notch workers in these matches.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, yeah, they had some good ones in the past, but I just don't think like you have to have a women's one. It's just like. What is the women's match? I don't even know yet.
It is Bianca, Alexa, Asuka against Damage Control and Nikki. So I think one more person. I think it's going to be 5-on-5.
Oh, okay.
But I think they need one more person on the heel side. Like a lot of people think like maybe it's going to be Rhea Ripley. And then they still need two people on the babyface side, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad Nikki Cross threw that damn 24/7 title in the garbage. That was cool. Hope no one picks it up.
Oh, you know who's going to pick it up.
Who, what's Brooke?
Hacksaw Jim Duggan, man.
Oh shit. I just wasn't thinking maybe Brooke needs something to do. Tozawa. Oh, God. Just retire that Triple H. I think he wants to retire it, too. I think it's...
it was a USA thing. Like they wanted it. That's
well,
that
USA's
their idea
not.
for having a USA title. Yeah.
Yeah. They're well, hey, we have a USA title. The US title. Let's call it the USA title now.
Yeah, that'd be good, actually. Yeah. Let's just call it the USA title.
Yeah.
Okay, so I didn't get to do We're Live Pal on Tuesday because Andrew Zarian had something going on with work at the last minute. I think we're gonna try and do it on Friday. It's possible we may not be able to do it because I have some stuff going on Friday, but we're gonna try. But basically, what I wanted to do on that show, you know, because everyone's on the high, on the Triple H high. Oh, you know, Triple H is, you know, that we just had this great pay per view, and again, I Roman Reigns and Logan Paul's one of my favorite matches of the year. But there's like things that he's doing that I kind of get frustrated with, and I know he's trying to piece together things that have not always been pieced together, but I don't know if you saw, it doesn't sound like you watched Raw, but there was a...
No, I missed Raw this week.
Main event segment was Seth, he had his challenge.
I read about it.
Okay. So he has his challenge, Bobby Lashley, Ali gets on the big screen, and he's like about to come for the open challenge. Why doesn't he just walk and come down the ramp? Oh, it's because he's got to get beat up by Bobby Lashley. Not just once, but
doesn't Ali attack Bobby Lashley though?
No, he was in the video, and he was about to accept the match, and then all of a sudden Bobby Lashley just like grabbed him.
Someone must have clipped. I saw a clip on Twitter, and they must have clipped that just before. Because I just saw like Bobby Lashley just beat him up.
Yeah,
and
Ali came back to try and fight, but then he got like thrown even further. It was
everyone's
like
always champion Mustafa Ali, and I think he's cool. But But in reality, he'd be stuffed in the locker by the stars.
The problem with him is that his character is now that he's the guy who has been sitting in catering, mm-hmm. and he's the guy who people want to be pushed and isn't pushed.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of like, he's not even an underdog babyface, really. He's just like, he's just like a whiny guy. And it's like, I don't think he's really good as the whiny guy. So anyway, so Ali gets destroyed by Bobby Lashley. Like, the whole thing is about Bobby Lashley turning heel and mm-hmm. Seth continuing to fall into his babyface-ness on the show. Seth has been kind of turning babyface. He's been acting like a babyface for a while now, but it's just now they're just going to, I think they're just going to go 100% with it. So anyways, so Lashley comes out, and they don't even do a match. He just beats the hell out of Seth. Like, the bell doesn't even ring. Everything's mm-hmm. on the outside. Just kills this dude. So why doesn't then Lashley go, oh, you know, I'm ready for the match? I don't know. So he leaves him laying. Of all people, your boy,
mm-hmm.
Austin Theory, after threatening to cash on Roman and Brock, mm-hmm. like, how many times did he threaten to cash on those guys? I know he did the little cutesy thing on NXT that I don't think any of us really thought was going to mean anything.
Yeah.
He cashes in on a match in which it was an open challenge, and he did not need a briefcase to get a title match.
He was in the restroom.
My God. Okay. We know that Vince took a liking to him, because Vince is not going to be on screen with a character
mm-hmm.
in this day and age, because Vince didn't really want to be on TV anymore, because he's not a fan of his older-looking self on television. So he takes a liking to Austin Theory, used the Mr. McMahon character with Austin Theory, and Austin Theory was kind of like the next guy, right? This must have changed, because with Vince McMahon out and Triple H in, even though Triple H was Austin Theory should still be a Triple H guy, which is kind of where I'm kind of wondering, because he was in NXT and he was, you know, with Johnny Gargano and stuff. So I just can't understand why you've been doing this long-term Money in the Bank storyline to end it in this way for the U.S. title, mm-hmm. and you cash in and you lose and you look like the biggest goober. You know, only who's the other person who cashed in as a heel and lost? Was it Sandow?
Yeah, he lost to Cena, right?
And so you're like, goober, like, why would we repeat the goober storyline? And so I was really frustrated.
Cena lost too. Did Cena try to cash in, lose?
Yeah, maybe he did. But I was just I was frustrated, not because I wanted Theory to win the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It almost seemed like Triple H saw it as like a noose around his neck or something. Like, we need to get this thing off of him because we don't know what to do.
That's probably what happened. It's probably what, you know, he. Because he came into the creative, right? Like, he came in and he sees Austin Theory. I'm sure he sees potential Austin Theory. Maybe he sees it, you know, like, either either put the belt on him or have him lose. Maybe he thought, like, let's just get it over with and let's kind of build him up the way I want to build him up, not this way, you know? I don't know. That's the only thing I can think about I mean, they're just trying to get this over with, because, you know, hasn't really done much for him when this Money in the Bank. You know, maybe would have been better with Vince in charge for him, but overall, it's been better with Vince not in charge. So, I'm okay with what they did. I think he'll be fine. He's still young and very charismatic and very good in the ring, and I think he'll get there eventually.
I just did not like the idea of making two young wrestlers look stupid just to turn Seth fully baby. It's like people love him. They hum his theme music, which has no words, when he walks down to the ring. Like, you didn't have to sacrifice both of those guys in order to do this. Now, some of it was for Lashley too, but Lashley can beat up anybody. He's a giant human who can throw around anybody and put him in the Hurt Lock. I just did not like sacrificing the young kids for that reason, because it felt it. What it reminded me of is like, oh, Vince doesn't like Ali. Vince doesn't like Theory. And so we're sacrificing him for the guys he does like. That's what it felt like. But I know that's not the reason behind what Triple H did. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, some people need to get sacrificed, I guess. And Seth Rollins, I guess, like, he was a heel, but I think he was so outlandish with his character and 100%, you know, full force with this character. You know how it was so wacky that people just started liking him. You know, they wanted to cheer him. And so now he's, as long as he doesn't change, if he can be still wacky, crazy, this character Seth Rollins Bayface, I think it'll be kind of fun to see. But
yeah, I mean he's awesome. Like he's
yeah. So it's gonna be a. I think I'm looking forward to like Triple H's booking of towards WrestleMania.
Yeah, for sure.
That's gonna be a exciting time to see, and it's gonna show us a lot about him as a creative. You know, mine. So I'm looking forward to it. And right now, you know, I think I didn't really like Extreme Rules that much, but I think that's the only big show that I didn't like since he's taken over since August. I like SummerSlam. I thought that was good. I didn't think I was going to like Crown Jewel. That ended up being good. So we'll see. I'm pretty excited for Survivor Series, though I'm probably going to watch it on delay. I'll be traveling back to San Jose on that day because it's Thanksgiving weekend, huh?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's the 26th.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one. We'll see what happens.
It should have been on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, no, it should be. yeah. I mean, because I did the live recap of it on F4W's YouTube, and that was fun, and it's because Denise doesn't do the WWE stuff for the F4W channel, so I was like, oh, maybe that's a little way to get the Fight Game brand out there is to do these live recaps. So that was fun, and I don't know, maybe I could do it on on Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday the 26th.
Saturday, okay. So Saturday's probably easier than Sunday too.
Yeah.
All right, so yeah. Oh, the other thing, your boy Johnny Gargano.
Oh yeah, how's he doing?
He's the biggest pain in the face, pain in the ass baby face out there right now. Oh my God, I'm like rooting for Miz, and you know what it takes. Like, I love Mike Mizanin, real world, and challenge Mike Mizanin all day. That's my guy. The Miz, I do not like, but man, I'm rooting for The Miz in this story because Johnny Gargano is such a whiny bitch of a babyface. Oh my God.
I liked him as a heel in NXT. I mean, I liked his NXT babyface run, but I think he's pretty entertaining as a heel, so maybe he's going to be a heel. Maybe the way he's going to come back.
Yeah. That would be funny. All right, so let's talk about this Dynamite show. Okay, here's my breakdown. If someone asked me, you know, give me a quick summary or a quick sentence about Dynamite, my sentence would be Dynamite was pretty ho-hum for me until the main event, which I really liked, and so made it a thumbs up for me.
That's my opinion as well. It was like exactly what you said, ho-hum. And then that really good main event.
Yeah.
And saved it because it was just kind of a show that was kind of there. Things are just happening and like, yeah, set up and like, this happened last pay-per-view too. Remember, like, we went to like the last like 2 weeks of the pay-per-view and all of a sudden, like, it was just rapid fire announcing matches and doing little stupid, quick little deals to set up matches for the pay-per-view. And that's where we're getting here again for this pay-per-view.
Yeah, I think
up.
I have a bigger problem with the build of this pay-per-view than I do with Dynamite the show, because part of the reason of the stuff that I didn't like about Dynamite is because of the build to this pay-per-view. Like, you have this tournament that is going to be, the winner is going to show up, or the winner is going to be crowned at the pay-per-view.
Yes.
And it is, we have three shows before the pay-per-view. And they just started the tournament today. Like, we could have had a match. You know, we could have had a match on Dynamite for the last 4 weeks, kind of leading up to this. Like that. That's the stuff that I'm like, he must have. I mean, he does this tournament, so it's not like he didn't know it was coming. I guess he just wanted to book it this way. He just wanted to kind of like fast break the last few shows. But that, and then we'll talk about this when we get to the Jeff Jarrett segment, but, you know, we talk about this all the time. All these young wrestlers, all these guys on the sideline, Jeff Jarrett just comes in and gets a pay-per-view match. Like, my God.
Sting want to wrestle Jeff again.
Ooh, man.
Dude, how long is the pay-per-view going to be? Have you get the Iggy the Crystal? Like, a bunch of those dudes are going to be at her house? And...
Nah, she's just going to go upstairs and go to bed.
All right.
She's just going to call it a night.
She's going to start giving us the old slash. Get out.
She'll call it. She's going to call it a night at 5. She's like,
right during the main event, she's going to come out, just unplug the TV. Get the hell out. Like, it's not on a work night, right? And that's not Sunday, so it's a Saturday show.
Is it Saturday? Yeah, it's Saturday show.
Yeah.
All right, so... Just, you know, you and I have been, I think I've been able to eliminate a lot of the coughing, but I've had, ever since I had COVID, I've had a coughing problem and a clearing my throat problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying something out different. I'm trying hot tea while we do this show. So hopefully that helps this coughing issue that I have to edit out. And I'm sure some can hear me cough like off air a little bit, but
now you jinxed me.
Well, I mean, it's just the thing with the stupid COVID. People just don't get this thing. Like, it's so bad.
Yeah.
Like, people are like, oh, I was only sick for 3 days. And I was like, yeah, but what happened after? Like, this thing hangs around, you know, just like old luggage. Like, it never goes away.
Yeah. My friend has nerve issues from it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So sad.
Yeah.
All right, show opens. It is the Gun Bros and Swerve in Our Glory versus FTR and the Acclaimed. I just thought it was so cool to see the Acclaimed come out. And it's cool on every show, but it's, you know, just nice, a nice reminder that, you know, the homegrown kids, the act works, and they're the most over of these tag teams. You know, FTR is obviously the best of the four teams, but... You know, they come out last. They're the champs. The crowd is so into these guys. Max is great with the current events and the pop culture with his rhymes. I think he got Kyrie Irving in there. He got Elon Musk in there. Some stuff with the midterm elections. Herschel Walker.
Yeah, Herschel Walker.
He was on it with this rap. Billy Gunn comes running out like he was booking it down the ramp. Slides into the ring to go after Swerve. Nothing happened, though. That was just it. He just had his hand taped, and they didn't let him get to Swerve. We saw BJ Whitmer.
He double-legged Swerve and started throwing some blows, but then the boys, you know, both teams separated them, and then BJ Whitmer came out, and he went to the back. That was basically it.
Yeah. I thought he was going to have something to do with the finish, but nope. They just needed to get Billy out there because he's the third man in the act, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, so Excalibur, I thought this was actually a really good line by him. He said FTR was flying, had flown back from Japan, and right around this time is where the jet lag may start to come in. And so I thought that was a cool line. He didn't out and out say that they wrestled for New Japan, but he mentioned that they were in Japan and at first I thought it was going to be like an excuse for them to lose the fall, but they did not lose the fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm surprised. I thought the heels were going over in this one.
So at some point during the picture-in-picture, W. Morrissey boots the crap out of Dax. And, you know, there are some times when he comes out and he looks awesome and he looks like a giant. And there are other times where he just kind of blends in. I don't know why. Maybe they didn't have him next to anyone tall, but I was like, gosh, this guy looks giant tonight.
Well, yeah, the boot happened in picture in picture. They showed it, a quick highlight of it, and he's just kind of was in the, you know, right-hand corner of your screen, actually out of picture the whole match. So it didn't really play into the finish that much, right?
Not that I can remember.
Yeah, nothing at all, actually.
All right, so then there was a Survivor Series-like face-off in the middle ring, both all four members of each team facing off. And, you know, the match was, I mean, an eight-man AEW tag team. You can imagine the chaos that could happen in a match like this, but I thought they kept it together for the most part. And just the fact that all eight of these guys, you know, Keith Lee is he is not on his A game these days, but the other seven guys were doing everything that they needed to do. The Ass Boys were there to take the crazy bumps and to lose the fall. Swerve was out there to do tons of creative, high-flying stuff. FTR is there to hold it together, and Max and Bowens are there to get the pops with the crowd and win the match. I thought it was put together pretty well. And Caster hits the elbow from the top on, I don't remember which Ass Boy it was, and then the big rig on the other Ass Boy, and then Bowens pins one of them, and they win the match.
Yeah, yeah, I thought it was overall a fun match. I didn't like the spot where the Klein and FTR kind of knock the heels out of the ring, and they just kind of bump each other, and they had a little face off. I thought that was kind of cheesy, you know, like, and also like, I really don't get Lee and Swerve. I don't get Keith Lee's issue with Swerve, because Swerve wasn't really doing anything dastardly. You know what I mean? Like, he's a heel because of his presence and attitude, and you know, but like, he's not doing anything really dirty in there that I saw.
When did Keith Lee become such a goody two shoes?
I know. And like, I think it's probably reason why he looks awkward in this storyline, because he's like, well, I'm not supposed to like what he's doing, so why am I still teaming him? They're just going with the flow. I don't know. He's just going with it. And it's just, I don't know. I'm not digging. I'd rather have them have the match be solid going to the match to pay-per-view, have the match to pay-per-view, lose the Acclaimed, and then you can do something, you know?
See, I was waiting originally. I didn't know if this was going to happen, but I was like watching these guys together. Like, my hope was that Swerve just chews this dude out, and he's like, this is not the Keith Lee that I wanted on my team. I wanted the aggressive, the guy who pounced Adam Cole into the first row, the guy who is just on fire, the guy who went toe-to-toe with Brock Lesnar. Like, that's the Keith Lee that I want. Because otherwise, I don't know why he's being such a passive wrestler unless there's a turn coming. And all of a sudden, because what I don't want to see is, I don't want Keith Lee to turn heel and all of a sudden be that same Keith Lee. I'll just be like, why weren't you that Keith Lee with Swerve? Like, what's the difference here?
Oh, I hope they don't turn Keith Lee heel. That would, on Swerve, then we have Swerve's baby. I think Swerve's a better natural heel.
Yeah, but
unless he joins with them and then there's still a team, I don't know.
What does Keith Lee get out of a feud with a heel Swerve? Like, it's not the greatest match to have between two guys.
Unless you put Swerve over, but they won't. Usually the babyface normally comes out on top in these programs. Look what happened with Ricky Starks and Will Hobbs.
Yeah, that's the comparable one, right?
Yeah, they broke up, had two matches, and now they're off doing separate. No, I don't think Ricky really got over in that feud. I don't think Hobbs got over in that feud. And now it's almost like, Hobbs lost last time he saw him, but now he's, you know, trying to get a TNT title shot. And we'll get into that. What happened in that freaking insanity. But I don't know. And it's just, we'll see. I don't think it's going to do neither any good ultimately. But Swerve has potential to be a top heel, and they need some fresh new heels in that company, I think.
How much money do you think it would take to get the boss, Ricky Ross, to be Swerve's manager? He'd have to be the highest paid guy in the company, I think.
Probably a good amount to get him to come out there every Wednesday.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That guy would be a lot of fun. All right. So all week, they said that Max was going to be on the show. He wasn't actually on the show.
Mm-hmm.
He cut a promo on the Barstool podcast, Pardon My Take. Max explained the reason why he wasn't on Dynamite was because the doctor told him it wouldn't be great for him after the beating that the firm gave him, and he wants to be full strength against Jon Moxley. That's an interesting way to have him off the show. I don't know if I like that. I don't even know if they should have even beat him up, because there's got to be something coming from the firm, like whether it's just they're shenanigans with them. It's just so weird. Like, the whole thing is weird to me, And I'm not exactly sure why they're going this route, because I'm not sure if Max is supposed to be a babyface. Is he supposed to be a heel? Is he a little shyster? Is he... because he's not a babyface in this interview. I mean, he's doing kind of babyface things, but he's still being a dick at the same time. So I don't know. I don't know. Like, a lot of times when you watch wrestling, one of the fun things about wrestling, and this is fun, like about superhero movies and stuff too, is you can kind of see something coming, and then when it happens, you get happy and you want to keep watching. It's like, oh yeah, like we're on the same page. But really, it's just whatever's the most logical thing, right? That they usually do. This one doesn't feel logical to me, and I'm kind of unsure what's going on. So I don't know. I'm open to what's going on, but it just like I don't. Why isn't this guy on TV every week? He's the biggest star. Like, he just needs to be there.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was interesting too that he's off, but I'm guessing the whole front stuff's going to be really a swerve. I don't know. Did he even mention the firm in his promo? To me, I just remember him talking about...
He either said the firm or he said Morrissey. He said that he got laid out.
But, like, didn't really cut the promo on them.
No, not at all.
It was still building up Mox and him for the title.
So there's another thought, though, that the reason why he's off TV is because he's in this Iron Claw movie, with the Von Erichs movie.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. He just got cast as, what, Gina Hernandez, I'm guessing?
Someone said Lance Von Erich.
I can see him as Gino.
Yeah, he'd be good, right? Gino.
He'd be a good Gino, and gotta find a British fellow to be Chris Adams. I don't know who they can find. But it's probably him. I mean, he's on a 2-week filming thing, and then maybe he'll show up with Dynamite unexpectedly, and boom, attacks John.
He better be there next week.
I'm sure he will.
All right, so he said he's a generational talent, and it's one of the most important matches in pro wrestling history. He respects Moxley for working his ass off. He's sick of waiting for his turn. He's grabbing the spotlight. The devil gets his due. I mean, same great promos great promo that he's been doing. I'm amazed at his ability to pause correctly, to not say the wrong word, to not say like, he's just amazing. Mm-hmm. I imagine he just sits in front of his mirror and cuts pro. Like, I don't know what it is, but he's just so good.
Yeah, he's awesome.
All right, now here's something a little weird, because it was right after this MJF thing. There's a Stokely video where he's walking, and he's narrating the video too. So it's kind of weird. Yeah. He's mad at MJF. He said that they used to be best friends. I didn't really get that from the connection of them coming out and MJF saying that they were friends. I didn't sense that they were best friends.
Yeah.
He said that MJF was dick riding Mox, which contradicts the promo that MJF just had cut.
It was strange, right? How this back went back to back.
Yeah. Like, I didn't like the placement of it at all.
Yeah, I didn't understand why it's so stylized. But then same thing happens in NXT too. I just watched, and they're doing like this overproduced, you know, promo like slash video package deal, and the same thing. We got the same one here. So maybe
you know why they do these, like you said, stylized like movie promos? It's because whenever they do regular promos in the back, someone just comes and interrupts them all the time. So.
It's true. True.
Or like later in the show, we're going to do a promo with Ricky Starks. Oh, we got there too late. Lance Archer beat us to it.
But he's right here just getting his ass kicked. I'm here to tell you about it. Get help, help. Oh, poor Marvez. Oh, my gosh.
All right. Second match, Ethan Page versus Eddie Kingston. Last week, I mentioned how I liked him on commentary. He's got a good look. He talks the part. He walks the part. And then he started wrestling. And once he started wrestling, I thought, Eddie Kingston really needs to win this match. They mentioned going to the UK in 2023. I guess they're going to have more on that next week. But I don't know. I feel bad. No, I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad for these guys. These guys are professionals. But Eddie is such an underutilized guy.
Oh, yeah.
And here's why I think it is. he can lose and he doesn't lose anything by losing. So it's almost like it's almost like lazy booking to beat him. But you know that he's not going to lose much by losing because he can get mm-hmm. over. Like, I feel like he's the guy that you beat. And I don't know. I was just like, he needed to win this match. The crowd loves him. Mm-hmm. Ethan Page did not look great in this match. Eddie's just an underutilized utility guy who I think they take advantage of.
Yeah, but if you lose too much, fans finally, we're done with this guy. They're never going to do anything with this guy.
Oh, then you just turn him heel.
Yeah, or they might love him, but wasn't last time we saw Eddie, he had kind of split personality deal going.
Yeah, he was mad.
So we didn't see any of that in this match. I kind of got a chuckle when Ethan Page hit the big boot.
Yeah.
On Kingston, and the last time he hit that big boot on Moxley, he knocked him out. He hit that big boot on Kingston. Kingston just shrugged it off like he was, you know. Just looking,
but Hogan. then it was the Enziguri or whatever that.
Yeah, then the freaking Enziguri, that Splash Mountain, whatever you call it, bomb off the top rope was
the Razor's Edge from the top.
Crazy, rope. That was not fun. Right on the low back, he landed. Oh my god.
Yeah. So end of the match, Kingston puts him in the stretch plum and he taps out. But Stokely was on the apron, had the referee's attention. Ortiz chased Stokely to the back and then mentioned the kick, and then he hit the Razor's Edge off the top rope for the win. So Ethan Page advances in this tournament, and again, this is not the Karrion Kross comparison, because for me, Karrion Kross is there to... they're going to give him so many opportunities until he just flat out fails. Mm-hmm. And for Ethan Page, he doesn't get those opportunities, but still there's like a clear thing for me where, I think it's just the wrong guy to put over in this match. So anyways,
and he's getting like heavier again. Like he's a big guy and he really got in great shape. I first saw him in Evolve and I thought, oh, this guy has good size, can talk, but he has like, he's like skinny fat, right? Like he needs to work on his body. Then he finally did in Impact. He looked good. And then he started looking good when he showed up in AEW, but they didn't really do much with him. Then they started doing that stuff with Dan Lambert. And now they're doing something with him now. And it seems like I'd like to see him kind of get that body going again. And also, I believe that he's going to beat Bandido next. I believe he'll beat him next. But I think Bandido needs to win mm-hmm. over Roosh. And then, you know, Ethan Page will beat Bandido, and I think it's going to be Bandido and I'm sorry, Roosh and Ethan Page and Ricky Starks in the final, you know, on that pay-per-view.
How come there are no main eventers in this tournament?
I don't know. Ask Tony. Is those wackiness was he was doing? I know. I saw this tournament. I was like, these guys. You know, Lance Archer. God, it's been 3 years now. He's done the same thing. He's lost all those big matches. Dante Martin is an old project of Tony Khan's. He's already been surpassed now by other projects like Yuta and Garcia. And who else? Roosh lost his first match in the company. Bandido lost his first match in the company. Ethan Page is, you know, like I said, only time he was used is he lost against Darby in that little program and all that stuff they did with the Men of the Year stuff. Kingston's the only guy that had
the Men of the Year.
Kingston's the only guy that, you know, what people like really want and love, and I wouldn't have even put him in this thing because, you know, he needs to do something. He needs to get some wins, and they need to do something with this guy, Kingston. Or if people are just gonna frank say, ah, throw their hands up. And who else is in this damn thing?
Well, there was
Rick Starks. I like Starks.
Yeah, maybe Starks is great, but we haven't seen him forever.
Yeah, but let him beat people that he's, you know, maybe you put Will Hobbs on the other side, you know, and then have them have a third match and Starks beat him then. I don't know, but
I saw Jay Lethal on this card, and I was like, why isn't he in this tournament?
Why isn't Darby in it?
Isn't Darby in it? Or, I mean, not that I'm a giant Orange Cassidy fan.
Miro,
but
what's he up to?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that should be in this tournament. All right, next segment was Renee with Roosh and the Dark Order.
Yeah, this is stupid.
Who was talking? Was it Abrahantes?
No, it's the Jesus, the
Jesus
assistant.
Says that 10 will get the first shot at Roosh when Roosh wins the title after winning the Full Gear tournament and then beating, I guess he said Moxie because Moxie was the champion and because Renee was there. And the only reason is because he's been working hard and he's, I think he said he got his body up or something, or he's working hard on his body.
Yeah.
And then Johnny Hungy did a stupid line, which made me realize, oh yeah, that's why Ten's getting it, not you.
I like when Roosh says, "I don't give second chances," but I swear we've seen this four times already on this show. You know, like for like a month now, we've seen him try to recruit damn Ten, but who cares?
So we go back to the ring. A very skinny man had a microphone, and I was like, "Wait, who is this?" He talks about, you know, he's got his butler, and if Wardlow wants, he'll offer the butler for a shot at the TNT title, or maybe for the TNT title. I don't remember what he said, but then I realized it's Daivari.
Yeah.
At first I was like, wait, is there like a, you know, is this another one of those Pizza Man characters? Like, who is this guy?
Jeez.
So it is Daivari. So Wardlow comes out. Joe comes out with him. And this is a squash for all squash matches. Wardlow hits several power bombs, wins a match. And then he calls out Hobbs and he says he's going to take every title. Samoa Joe was right behind him. Samoa Joe has one of those titles. He kind of turned a side eye and then boom, attacks Wardlow from behind with the belt, puts him in the choke, and Wardlow goes to sleep.
Out of nowhere.
There were some subtle looks, but Joe kind of gives side eyes to everybody. But yeah, there was not really a thread as far as them having any sort of beef.
Yeah. I don't remember seeing anything. Like, anything that's give you a clue that something like this is gonna, I mean, you know, eventually they're probably gonna break up and end up feuding.
But this is gonna be triple threat, right?
Looks I guess. Like that's
what they were building up.
Yeah, it looks like it's gonna be at the pay-per-view, a triple threat match. And then yeah, out of nowhere. Just a quick deal to do. You know, maybe Vince Russo has a 2-week trial now.
Is it going to be like that one WrestleMania where it was Jericho, Kurt Angle, and Benoit?
No, not that good.
Remember there were two titles on the line. It was like a two-fall match, and each title was up.
Yeah.
Angle.
The European title and the Intercontinental title. Yeah.
Because Joe has a title, and Wardlow has a title. So what title is going to be up?
He should have turned him like, oh no, Joe, not that one. That's not, you know, no one cares about Ring of Honor. That's then he should attack them. Yeah, I just couldn't believe, like, what? All this, what? Now? Shit. Horrible.
Yeah. Renee with Jade. It's going to be Jade and Nyla, Full Gear. Jade kind of pushed Renee. Like, man, she didn't deserve that. She just pushed her out of the way.
Mm hmm.
Britt and Saraya with Tony Schiavone in the middle of the ring. Saraya said she is 100% cleared and this is her house. And Britt said she's the one who built AEW from the ground up until it became a fortress. Britt is the homegrown babyface here, and everything that Britt is saying, the fans are completely agreeing with.
Yeah, yeah.
Britt says she's everything Saraya wishes she could have been. Britt says that Saraya left her house to walk into Britt's house, and she needs to make an appointment. There was a few superstars and stars jokes.
Yeah.
I think Saraya in mid-promo realized that she was actually offending some of these fans, and she tried to bring it back. Saraya said that Britt was handed the position by Tony Khan.
I did not understand that line at all. Like, why would you say that?
So we watched it we watched Britt win matches to win the title.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If Saraya wins this title, is that her being handed the belt by Tony Khan too? I didn't understand that.
Yeah, at all. I understand. That looks ridiculous.
Saraya then tried to turn herself babyface. She mentioned how many years she's been in the business. She mentioned being in a car wreck and wrestling that same night. She mentioned some of the drug abuse that happened while she was wrestling, and I forget how she said it. And then she called
her addiction,
yeah, but
her battle of addiction.
But she said like on live TV, or she was like living it while. Oh, I don't know, that was weird.
Well, she also talked about being ridiculed by the world in public, you know, for her sex tape, basically, right? And all that stuff.
How come Woods didn't get ridiculed? Woods was up in there.
Yeah, that's true. Do you see like her? They had like someone posted their Saraya's like stats, and it was like, oh no, and there's like they had a trios record. It's just
so she keeps big timing Britt. It's making Britt come off as the baby face.
Mm.
They make the match Saraya versus Britt at Full Gear. I like this because you can actually have a women's match on a show with that's not a title match. So I like that.
Three women's matches going to be on that show.
At least the Jade and Nyla one hopefully is going to be pretty short. Should be just hard hitting and short.
Yeah.
And this one, right? This one should not be a 15-minute scientific match. This one should also be a bit of a brawl.
Yeah, you'd hope.
So Britt tried to jump her, and Saraya DDT'd her to end the segment. So ultimately, I liked the fact that they gave them time. I did not like where Saraya went. At mm-hmm. least I think she realized that, you know, coming from the angle of I come from WWE actually makes her a heel.
Yeah.
I think she realized that mid-promo, but gosh, she should have known that because this, you know, Britt is the homegrown star. Even though Britt's a heel, like, she's very beloved by that fan base. So a little bit of a misread there by Saraya.
Yeah. Yeah. I enjoyed this. I was, like I said, kind of like confused with that line with the whole like, Tony Khan and, you know, with Britt. That was kind of weird. But I liked it. Yeah. Saraya did try to get the fans back by telling her story. And I think people did. And you know, they did a little deal at the end. So yeah, we'll see how the match goes. Hopefully it's going to be a good match. I don't know. You know, Britt Baker's in there wrestling. I don't think she's that good a wrestler, but hey, they'll surprise me.
You know, the other thing that comes off slightly fake about Saraya, and this is not her fault because she did get hurt. But when she talks about the Revolution, that's the Four Horsewomen and Ronda Rousey, right? Like that, like that's where it became a thing. That's where they got their own pay-per-view was the Four Horsewomen, Ronda, the Bellas. Those are the ones that are kind of recognized. And maybe Paige to an extent, or Saraya to an extent, had she not gotten hurt, she would have been right in that mix. Mm-hmm. But that's also what's a little hollow on this is she wasn't with them. She wasn't as good as they all of them were.
I think she ignited some of the spark of that. You know,
sure,
she got very popular. She got very popular. It's unfortunate she got hurt, you know, really hurt her momentum. But yeah. Yeah, we'll see. What do you think? Think it'll be good? Keep it short. Keep it short and sweet. I think it'd be fine.
Yeah, I want to see a brawl. I want to see, you know, it would actually be great. They won't do this because AEW doesn't do this. But, you know, you have the match and they just hate each other's guts and it goes like 6 minutes and they just keep brawling and you got to DQ both of them and set up something else. And
They won't do that.
But they won't do that.
Yeah.
All right. We have the Factory with Jay Lethal and Sanjay Dutt and and Satnam Singh. Orange Cassidy and Danhausen come through. QT is up in there. He sets up Lee Johnson versus Orange. And, you know, the idea behind promoting a match is to kind of get behind a match, and the baby face is like, oh yeah. Orange is like, eh, whatever, fine with me, see you Thursday, see you Friday. I was like, okay. It really made me want to watch you face Lee Johnson.
Then the hard cut of the best friend.
Because yeah, because the best friends were in the background of the background. Like they were like on some stairs. They weren't even at the, I don't even know if they were at the same level as everybody else. But Trent just says he wants to have a match with Jay Lethal, and it just right to the match. Like
yeah,
it was obviously it was a video package taped earlier, yeah. Or it was a live interview taped earlier in the day. But then, bam, to the match. So we had Jay Lethal and Trent. Lethal jumps Trent for the match started. Chucky T comes out with Danhausen. Singh, Danhausen, and Dutt get involved into the finish. Then Jay Lethal hits the Lethal injection. This wasn't a squash match, but it was pretty clear that this was for Lethal to look impressive. Mm-hmm. I like seeing him get a win on TV. He's got a couple of those lately. And like I said, he should have been in that stupid tournament. But he looked good. Like, he always looks good.
Yeah, yeah, the finish looked, you know, when he hit the Lethal injection, like, that looked awesome. Perfectly timed. I thought it was funny, like, Danhausen gets up on the apron and, you know, does the deal with Satnam being a giant. And then Sanjay tries to do something with Danhausen, and Danhausen punched Sanjay low. And then Satnam picks up Danhausen and headbutts him off the apron, and Trent drop kicks him off the apron. What the hell is Chuck T doing? Just he just watches this stuff, huh? He don't do nothing.
I'm telling you, worst friends, not best friends.
Yeah,
they're the worst friends.
He should just go back to the building and just be like, you know, just changing out urinals, you know, like he just doesn't do nothing. He just sits there he was over there in that promo before, like just down the stairs, a little head popping up going, It's like, he's one of the guys that just, he's getting charity, man. He's getting charity, unfortunately.
So we'd already seen Lethal and Satnam Singh and Sanjay Dutt before this match. Then we had the match, we saw them again. And now we have another interview segment with them. Tony Schiavone comes out. Jeff Jarrett is introduced by Sanjay Dutt. Jeff Jarrett says that he came to AEW to help out Sanjay, who called him. That's what he does. He's helping a friend. He starts talking about Jay Lethal. He signed him to his very first contract. He got a little global reference in when he was talking about Sanjay. He took a shot at, I think it was Omos and he
Braun called, Strowman.
Oh, was it Braun? Oh, okay, it was Braun.
The red tights. The red, yeah.
And did he call Triple H Banana Nose?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Triple H is the new Banana Nose and not Lance Russell?
Yeah, yeah.
And so then he said that Satnam Singh had a Netflix documentary about him called One in a Billion. I looked it up. He does. It's up there from like 6 years ago. I don't know if it was made 6 years ago, but I think like the photo was of him of a very younger version of this guy. And then the producer's trying to wrap him up. Like, come on, dude, you're going long here. And he gets mad and he's trying to fight the producer. Jeff Jarrett is a great performer. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand his role in this company. I guess we'll figure out what happens on the pay-per-view. And if he's going to be an everyday regular character, man, I don't know. We just talked about this loyal AEW fan base with Britt Baker, with the Acclaimed, these homegrown folks, Jon Moxley, MJF. Jeff Jarrett is the anti-version of that. So unless they create some angle about him being the anti-version of that, I don't see how he fits much more than just these next few shows.
Plus, you can't like have him come in as this outsider and say, oh, Jeff Jarrett's all elite and he's going to be part of our management team, you know?
Yeah.
And then maybe he's just like, oh, we'll do a little thing for you on for wrestling side of it. And when you're done with the pay-per-view, you go back to just being the management. Maybe it's just going to be a quick little deal for the pay-per-view and then that's it. You know, because I think it does, you know, I like Jeff Jarrett, but, you know, I like them you know, years ago, not like now, right? Like, yes. I think it does look bad of a company that's supposed to be younger and edgier, and you have, you know, Jeff Jarrett out there still doing stuff that people saw in the dying days of WCW. And I don't think that's a good look for them. So
Jungle Boy is with Renee, and he says that he has an announcement for Full Gear that will happen at Rampage. So
I can't just do it here.
Well, you know, you got to build to a segment on Rampage. They couldn't fit him in.
I'm not going to watch Rampage, show. Most likely.
Okay, so for people who don't want to get spoiled, plug your ears right now, because I'll tell John what the spoiler is.
It's going to be a tables match.
Last man stand. No, I'm just kidding.
No,
I'm
shit.
Just kidding. this isn't much better. It's a cage match at Full Gear.
Oh,
jeez. This probably opens the show. Like, where else do you fit a cage match in on a long show?
Damn, this show's going to be long, man. I'm bringing my sleeping bag to your house.
All right. Mox comes out with Regal. He's responding to the MJF promo. He says he was 25 or 26 when he met Regal. He was full of piss and vinegar. He wanted to be like Regal, so of course the natural thing to do was to pick a fight with Sir William, and it didn't go well, but it did cause him to work harder and train harder, and when he was finally ready, he picked his shot against Regal, and he did a lot better. Mox brought up the pandemic match at the pay-per-view where he beat MJF. That's a little bit of a forgotten AEW pay-per-view there, because it was during the pandemic, but he did beat MJF. Mox says he's seen the devil. He's met the devil. He's looked the devil right in the eyes. And Mox is not the devil, but he is a teacher, and he is going to bring it out of MJF. Good promo. I thought it was a good answer to MJF. You know, you can't do... MJF is so good at his style. Mm-hmm. Like, you then try to copy... Like, no one's going to be as good. So Moxley, in this sort of casual, like... You know, the way his style, he's really good. I thought this was a good answer to it. But it does feel a little bit, though, like Mox is just holding MJF's title. Like, that's what it feels like on the TV show.
Yeah, I thought this was a good promo. Like, you know, Mox has good promos. And I don't feel, this match doesn't feel as big as it should. So what do you think? Does it feel like a big, big match for you?
I think if the elite stuff didn't overshadow the company these last 2 months, I think it would feel a little bit bigger. But it's just because the company's a little cold, you know?
Yeah. I think the stuff with the firm really, instead of making things intriguing and made it more confusing, it kind of took some steam off the match too for me. As well, them attacking MJF.
They have 1 week to try and tie it together. I hope the angle works, because it's deserving. Like, this is this should be a really good match. We should be looking, you know, big time forward to it. It should be one of their biggest matches, you know, of the year. So we'll see. They have a little bit of time left to tie it together, and we'll get there. And I don't know, but I just feel like it. And here's the other thing that's a little weird. Is that how wrestling usually works? I'm not saying it always has to work this way, but when you are so much looking forward to someone winning a title, it is like that babyface, right? Like Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania 30 beating Randy Orton and Batista in that main event. The whole time we're watching that match going like, if they would do it, it'll be great, but I'm not going to believe they do it until they do it. And because Daniel Bryan, you were so behind him. Here, I'm sort of feeling like it's going to go the MJF route. I don't want to root against him. I'm not rooting for him. I like Moxley. I would love to see Moxley keep that title. But I have a feeling like a lot of people are looking for this coronation of MJF.
Yeah.
And he's still a heel. So it's like it's a weird thing for me. Like, I'm not exactly sure how I'm supposed to be feeling about this match.
Yeah. I just feel like to me it should be a little bigger, but we shall see. I'm interested if they do. They we could get a really overbooked finish, or there, the first match honestly wasn't that good. I think it's one of the weaker John Moxley matches during that time.
Yeah, there was like no fans. Like
I know there are no fans, but just like that, say things weren't clicking between them. So I like to see it's gonna be this classic match that they want, you know. I don't know, it's gonna be interesting. I just kind of feel like, God, we have so many matches on the show. I don't want to take a steam away from these guys, but we'll see.
Okay, so then after that segment, we got another Elite video, and they are teasing something happening
mm-hmm.
at Full Gear with the Elite. Here's a question. We all know what's going on with these guys, so we're in on all these little jokes. What do the fans think about this? Like, don't they just want them to show up on TV?
Yeah, but they're, you know, building interest to the pay-per-view. So then show up. I think it's okay to do it on, you know, tease it for the pay-per-view, and maybe that's going to give them some extra buys, you know.
But have we not answered why they've been off TV?
No.
All of a sudden, they were off TV, and now they're secretly coming back.
And then they filed a trademark for the Wayward Sons.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Isn't it like we're people that kind of discarded, you know, or what was that? I looked it up. I was like, what the hell's something to do with, like, so they're going to come back as heels.
Or like these, how would you even explain it? You come back, but you feel like you're disrespected, or like, you know, let's look.
Okay, here's the definition of wayward son: turned or turning away from what is right or proper, willful, disobedient, a wayward son.
Oh yeah, so that is a heel.
Yeah, I mean, right? So they're gonna be like, but I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, you know, they could be cute about this and.
Oh,
trademark it and have it nothing to do with it, just to throw that people off
true.
The set.
That is true.
All right. So, yeah, the video was cute. It's setting up something. They're going to be on the pay-per-view. I just wonder, like, what fans who have no idea why they're not on the show, mm-hmm. like, what they think about it. Like, oh, they're just gone, and now they're secretly coming back. Okay, so we had Jamie Hayter versus Sky Blue. This was a match for Hayter to win impressively. But if Sky Blue was, you know, trying to get some more TV time here, because she hit the ropes a little harder, run a little faster.
Yeah.
And maybe, I don't know. She's
really, really green. She's really in this position.
I mean, I assume she's a decent athlete. Like, she looks like she can do stuff. But, like, when it came to actual running, mm-hmm. that looked like it was a struggle. Like, you know, I used to make fun of, who did I used to make fun of?
Candice LeRae.
Candice LeRae. I used to make fun of her rope running because it was almost like she was counting steps. And that's from somebody who, I'm a hypocrite, right? I've never run the ropes in my life. I'm sure there's a trick to it. But, I was watching Sky Blue, and it looked like Jamie Hayter was waiting forever for her to do stuff.
Well,
so
you're supposed to attack the ropes, but I think she doesn't want to attack these ropes. She's very, like, gently going into them. And also her kicks, too. She's on the Luchasaurus kick training program. Very slow and lethargic looking, right? And
it's not a good program to be
in. Dude, how many times do we see someone just, like, stop someone with a super kick? Like, I think it's all, like, four times, five times in the show. I mean, I guess we see it every show.
Yeah, but, totally.
But, you know, Hayter won. Did you see the spot where Britt Baker tripped up Sky Blue, and that's when Hayter took over?
Mm-mm.
So, yeah, Britt did a trip on Sky Blue. No one drew the ref, which is Rick Knox. He literally had to turn his back just to look at Toni Storm and at the ringside, just standing there. She's doing nothing. Like, it's just so
maybe
stupid.
She winked at him or something.
Maybe she, or can't, you have three. You have Rebel out there, too. She can't pop up. Jeez, it's so simple, guys. I mean, come on.
I like Jamie Hayter using the Rainmaker. It's nice, you know. It's not Okada. Like, she doesn't do it like Okada does it, but I still like that clothesline. She's a mm-hmm. strong woman and, you know, very exciting and action-packed kind of wrestler. So it's a good finish for her. And she, you know, especially against someone smaller like Sky Blue, that finish looked really good.
I like her theme song and entrance. That theme song gives me like the flashback to the old rave days. And it's like, but her entrance, she's just so like charismatic. She's a charismatic girl. Like she's, yeah. So, I mean, for God's sakes, let's put the belt on her at this point.
Well, I mean, right? She's another, I mean, she's not technically homegrown, but she was on some of those early AEW shows. And then
I would say she's homegrown for sure.
She's pretty close to being homegrown. She was just away for a while because I think she could because of the pandemic. But yeah, I mean, that's someone you naturally root for, even though she's still technically a heel. But you naturally root for her just because you've been watching her this whole time.
And you got the natural story of her as champion and Britt not champion. It just should be some good stuff going forward.
So Brian Cage and Dante Martin hype their match for Friday. As much as you can hype the match with both of those two guys who, you know, they're not the most charismatic guys in the company. Alex Marvez, this is where we talked about the Ricky Starks thing, and Lance Archer's just already beating up Ricky Starks. Alex Marvez, at least, you know, he looked worried. He was very worried about Ricky Starks.
We don't need a Tony. You don't need to do this for every match you have. It's a tournament. They signed for the tournament. They're having a match in this tournament. That's, you know, why don't you do a little thing you did with Brian Cage and,
okay, but you know,
and Dante
why,
Martin.
You know why he's doing it.
What?
Starks are going to win.
Oh, well, you can't just beat
Lance Archer.
Everyone beats Lance Archer.
Lance Archer says everyone dies.
Everyone beats Lance Archer.
Yeah, someone could just say, yeah, everyone loses like you.
Yeah, exactly.
I like Lance Archer. I'm just going to say that.
I like him too.
I don't want him to be mad at me.
Remember that big signing? Like, oh man, they're going to do this. He's always going to be a big deal.
I mean, he could, like, he should go back to New Japan.
He should. Yeah. Yeah. Well, they sent him to G1.
Yeah. He's good. All right. Sammy Guevara and Brian Danielson. 2 out of 3 falls. What was the storyline reason for this match?
I don't know. 2 out of 3 falls. They just wanted to have a 2 out of 3 falls match.
Because Daniel Bryan, gosh, why did I went like 3 months without calling him Daniel Bryan. I've done it like 2 times on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Danielson, he already beat Sammy once.
Yeah.
Like a couple weeks ago. And then they made this match for the pay-per-view, which doesn't make any sense whatsoever to me. A 4-way for Jericho's title with Claudio, who should be in a 1-on-1 match, against Danielson, who Jericho's beat twice already, and Sammy, just to kind of even the playing field, I guess. And it's a 4-way, fatal 4-way, but and even though that match is made, I don't understand necessarily why Danielson and Sammy are having another match. I'm not complaining because the match was really good, but
yeah,
I guess they're just, maybe Daniel Bryan just wanted to beat him up again. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe they want to make that, because I didn't really like their first match. I thought that was kind of a disappointment. It was fine, but I thought this was really good and actually told. So I like this Sammy. This is the Sammy
this
one.
This is the Sammy we've been saying. Yeah. We've been wanting this guy.
You can do some flashy stuff here and there and show your athleticism, but I want you to be a heel. You have that slappable face, and you have, you know, the heat with your girlfriend and all that stuff. Like, people want to just see you get your ass kicked. And when he's on top as a heel, I want to see him be a little dirty and choke and scratch and claw. I love this. I thought this was a really good match.
So Sammy gets disqualified for the first fall. Came out of, I was so surprised because, again, they never do disqualifications. I was like, whoa, this is cool. He grabbed a chair, chucked it at Danielson's face, and he got DQ'd. And then he continued to play heel because the match had not yet restarted for the second fall because they were outside the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And he grabs the microphone. He's jabbing Danielson's eye with the mic. And then Excalibur started to bring up the time when Danielson's had the eye issue, the detached retina, like years and years and years ago. So he brought that up. I thought that added to the whole drama of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Danielson's bleeding not only from the eye, but he's also bleeding from the nose.
That's because that kick, that knee on that, was that, wasn't it like a burning hammer into the go to sleep?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
I was like, I got a little concerned. I'm like, okay, we know Brian has issues with concussions and.
Oh, yeah.
Knee to the face like that? Holy shit.
So that was the first fall for Guevara. Is he the, he calls it the GTH. What does the H stand for?
Go to hell.
Go to hell? Okay.
Yeah.
Hits the go to hell, and Danielson gets pinned. So it's 1-1. Very, very well done. Very aggressive. Sammy's been a great heel. And they during the match, Excalibur just gets the word. Oh, by the way, Darby and Sting versus Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal at the pay-per-view.
Just right in the, right the lower in the third.
Match. Yep.
Yep.
So Danielson, he's got some adrenaline going. Eyeballs jacked. Nose is jacked. This dude decides to do a diving headbutt off the top rope.
Mm-hmm. I know that.
Sammy kind of turned a little bit. I don't think he got out of the way unless Danielson was supposed to hit the mat. I don't know if they actually made contact, but it was a little awkward.
He was
supposed
to miss, right?
Yeah, it was a little awkward, but I thought, even if you hit this headbutt, your head is jacked. Why would you do this move? So then Sammy gets cross-face. Danielson gets to the ropes. The ref kicks Tay out, so she's out of the match. And they start showing all of the matches for Rampage and Dynamite, like you said, in the lower third. The graphics are popping up, and Excalibur's trying to read them as they're on the outside. And I was like, wait, we're not getting Micro Machines. What's going on here? This is like one of my favorite parts of the show. I guess they didn't have time. So all the matches that they announced were just on the screen during this match. Sammy, shooting star to the floor. This dude was out of control on this thing.
That was crazy.
He looked like a helicopter, like that got shot down.
And like Danielson didn't really catch him. It's hard to catch that a guy doing that though, mm-hmm. You know, because you got arms and legs flying all over the place. So it's like you really just got like, oh, well. Do your best because it could have been really bad for Danielson as well.
So back in the ring, he goes for this cutter off the top rope, and Danielson catches him, and he puts him in the lapel lock. Sammy's fighting it, gets to the rope. Danielson hits the reverse Hurricanrana. Danielson goes for the knee, the flying knee. Sammy turns it into a lion tamer. He gets the high arching one. Danielson gets the ropes. Danielson finally hits the knee. He does not go for the pin, though. Sammy hits a springboard DDT, but then misses the Jeff Hardy Swanton. Danielson gets his knee up right in the back on the Swanton on Sammy, and then he starts laying in the elbows. Then he gets the lapel lock in, and Sammy goes out. He does not tap. He goes out. And that is your match. I thought this was really good.
Just
well to put together. Sammy as a heel is awesome. This is where I hope this is the kind of the type of, you know, this is who he embodies because he's so good at it.
Yeah, this is what I want to see out of him. So I hope he takes this match and sees his performance here and says, that's what I need to do going forward. You know, I'm just kind of hoping. I'm really concerned for Brian Danielson in this match, you know, with a lot of the headshots and stuff. So I'm just
chair
hoping
to the face.
That was fast. And maybe Matt Hardy gave him the old, hey, last time he did that to me, I was gushing all over the place. So get those hands up. And that seemed to be okay. You know, I mean, still, it's coming up really
great,
fast.
Look great.
Yeah, that camera shot was great from the back of Brian Danielson. But that knee to the face, man. Oh, that was nasty.
Good stuff there. I like the first match and the last match were fun. So I would give this a thumbs up show, even though there was the build to Full Gear wasn't necessarily my favorite stuff. But like I said, they got one more week. And, you know, I'm going to have to start watching Rampage because I skip it. I don't skip it because I don't want to watch it. I skip it because I don't have to talk about anything again until Tuesday of like the current stuff. You and I record Monday night, but that's about old stuff.
Yeah.
And so I just go, oh, you know, I can take like 3 days off or I don't got to watch, you know, wrestling until Rampage gets kind of caught. But I think I need to watch it because they're tying in some stuff. Like, I'm not saying that the shows are, like, great matches, like, these big-time matches that I want to see. But I think they're doing a little bit of a better job of, like, kind of connecting the two shows and connecting the mm-hmm. Like, you kind of have to watch Rampage now if you want to know everything that happened. So I'm going to give it my full effort here and see if I can make sure to try and watch Rampage these days. So,
yeah, I tape it, and sometimes I just don't watch it. Sometimes I watch it on a Saturday afternoon, kind of just throw it on real quick. But usually I can't get past the first 30 minutes, and I just end up then I'll watch SmackDown, but I kind of just fast-forward that until something I like.
You know what? I think I do have to watch it this weekend because Dave texted me this morning.
Uh-oh.
And I think – I don't know if Brian's going out of town or – you know, Brian does these, like, little short vacations, but he still pretty much does all of his shows, but he may be traveling. Mm-hmm. So he's like, can you do Wrestling Observer for Saturday night? So I think I may have to – so I'll have to watch SmackDown and Rampage for that show. You know, at least we'll be covering UFC. I haven't bought a UFC show in a while, so that's pretty fun.
Is it a pay-per-view this weekend?
Uh-huh.
Oh, shit. You gotta send me the picks.
I know, I gotta send out the picks. I'll send them out tomorrow. But all right, we are done here, so we'll be back next week to go home TVs for Full Gear and whatever else is going on in WWE. Have you watched any of the Tales from the Territory stuff?
No, you know, I don't have Vice, but I just saw on YouTube. There's a bunch on YouTube. Someone posted in. Oh shoot! Vice, here's that.
Don't talk about.
I mean,
that.
It's not like it's a secret the way he titled it. I tell you that right now. But I gotta watch. I watched the first one, the Memphis one, but I that was on Vice YouTube page.
Yeah, but yeah, because there's some interesting stuff. Like it could be. I was thinking that instead of, you know, if there's nothing WWE related to talk about, you know, we should probably pick up some of that stuff. But they did the Polynesian one this week, Rock's family territory or whatever, I think.
Was he on that one?
I don't know. Did he talk? I think I would have heard about it if he was on it. So I don't think so.
It's mostly like, is it mostly road stories, right? Or something?
Yeah, tall tales, you know, this thing happened. And you know, not saying that they're not true, but they're definitely, like, exaggerated.
Yeah, like Jarrett and that guy's eye. Like, he did go for it, but he didn't, like, take it out and stomp, like, put on the mat and all that stuff.
Yeah, there was one with, I think it was Bob Roop during the Steve Kern thing when they were making fun of Kern's dad. He was a POW, and he said, like, he walked out of the arena and he was walking to his car and some guy just had a gun like it was gonna shoot him or something. It's like, holy crap. I mean, maybe that did happen. I mean, I imagine there was it was at least close to what he said, but that was scary as shit.
There's some crazy stories. I mean, that's the real heat, people trying to attack you and get a security, and it's like, you know, Cornette talks about it all the time about, you know, trying to get back to the getting back to the dressing room safely, you know, especially in those Louisiana towns and stuff. Insanity, man, back then.
All right, we are done here. We will see y'all next week. For John, I'm Double G. See you when we see you. Peace out.